In chapter 4 this morning. Appreciate that song. Sometimes in a busy world, it's good just to stand still and let God move. This morning, Revelation chapter 4, preach on the subject of the open door. Revelation chapter 4. And we'll look at the entire chapter this morning, which is only 11 verses, so don't get up and walk out. That's only 11 verses. Revelation chapter 4. Bible says, after this. Now, what is after this? Well, we're going to review chapters 1, 2, and 3 here in a moment. But just remember that. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. By the way, it's hard for a trumpet to talk to you. Wouldn't you agree? Hello? If I had a trumpet, I played the trumpet in band growing up. I can't really talk to you with that trumpet. I can blow your eardrums. That's why I like the trumpet. It was the loudest instrument, right? But here's the thing, is that his voice was very distinctive. Now notice what it says. It says, and he says, he talked with me and said, come up hither, and I showed thee, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that was to look upon like jasper and sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto emerald. I will interject, that is not the rainbow that we use today. I thought we got a lot of amens there. That's not the rainbow we use today. This is going to be something like you've never seen before. The beautiful colors that have come from the throne room of God. We can't even begin to think of it. But notice what he says. And he says that in verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning from before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second like a calf, and the third like a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Remember, Pastor read that last week, I believe it was. And four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I love that it covers a whole span of time. Which was, which is, and which is to come. In other words, he's infinity in himself. That he covers eternity. And it says in verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, hallelujah, 24 elders fall down before him, for him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure, and they are and were created. Let's pray, and then we're going to preach on the subject of the open door. Father, we love you, and God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy today. And Father, I need your help today. I need your power. I need your Holy Spirit to speak through me and to your folks today. God, I don't know the hearts of each and every one here today, but I sure am glad you do. Lord, you know what is needed. You know what is needed to be said. And so, God, I yield myself totally and completely to you today and asking you that you would use me for the next few moments to preach your word. Lord, make it clear and precise. And God, I'm going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 1, we see that John is placed on the Isle of Patmos. He's placed in exile by the Roman government. He is sent there to die. And what the Roman government didn't know at that time is that as John was on this isle, there was going to be a visitor. Hello, I like getting visitors. But there's never been a visitor like he's about to get when God Almighty shows up on the isle and begins to reveal things to him. Matter of fact, in chapter 1, you see in verse 1, it says, "Which the things which is and which was and which things to come. You say, why is that important? Because he tells him here that he's going to show him in verse 2 the things that must be hereafter. So chapter 1 through chapter 3 are the things that were and is. But from chapter 4 on to chapter 22 is going to be the things that which are to come. Chapter 4 really is different than any other chapter in the book of Revelation, because we have a break between chapter 3 and chapter 4. Chapter 2 and 3 tells us of seven visible local churches in Asia Minor. By the way, I believe God's a local church God. Hello. He works through the local churches. That's why you're here this morning, I hope. God is working through our local churches. And these seven churches of Asia Minor show us seven periods of church history. We're living in the last one. It's called the Laodicean Age. It is called really the last age. Why? Because Jesus is at outside the door knocking, wanting to come in. Wouldn't that be sad today? That if we met and we saw somebody out there knocking on the door and it was the Lord? Too many churches like, we got this. We handle our own services. Well, I think we ought to yield to Him and whatever He wants today. Wouldn't it shock us today if God showed up in this service and He says, I want you to quit preaching and give an invitation. We just gave an invitation in 5 minutes and people started getting saved. I was raised that way. We're so mechanical today, aren't we? But like, I got to finish it. I got to finish, you know, and I got to talk for an hour. But if God shows up, you just let Him show up and let Him do it. Now, God may work at 12 o'clock. God may work at 12:01. We don't know. We just yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to work in our life. But here He is. He's giving them one piece of advice to all seven churches. And this piece of advice is found in chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, listen, you can have your programs, you can have all these things, but you better listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Why? Because you can mess up in a hurry without direction from God. So this morning we see chapter 4. And I love what he says first thing. After this. After what? After I dealt with the churches. Now, from chapter 4 on, we're not going to be talking about the church. We're going to be talking about things in heaven and things that are going to happen here on earth once God has raptured His saints out. We realize that chapter 4 is a picture of the rapture. After this, John goes from the earthly to the heavenly. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he's on the Isle of Exile, and he's there, and he's put there to die. But here's what God says. Nope, that is not where you're going to stay. One day I'm going to take you out of here. And he gives John a vision. Why? Because he says, and after this, I was what? I was taken to heaven. And guess what he says? And there was an open door. Folks, I'm going to tell you something this morning. The greatest day of your life is when you realize there's an open door in heaven. And the only way that door ever gets open is to go to the man who has the key. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice a few things this morning. Number one, I want you to notice in this chapter the picture of this door. The picture of this door. This door is, it tells us exactly where this door is. There's no doubt that where this door is, and we know that this door is a picture. We realize that there's not an actual door per se, but Jesus said that He's the way, the truth, and life, but He also said that I'm the door. If any man come in, he comes in through me. We realize that it's a picture of what he's trying to say. Matter of fact, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 2:12. He says, furthermore, when I come to Troas to preach the gospel, it says, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. In other words, he's not saying there's a physical door that is open. He's just saying there is a door. Matter of fact, I have access. I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit because that's the way I do. When Jesus was on the cross, something happened amazing. There was a veil in the temple that hid the Holy of Holies. When Jesus was on the cross and when Jesus died, guess what happened at the temple that day? Ain't that amazing that somebody that was on a hillside outside of Jerusalem and something inside Jerusalem was happening at the same time? Here's what happened. He rent the veil from top to bottom. What in the world happened there? He was showing us that He was the great high priest. We know that through the book of Hebrews, right? After the order of Melchizedek, that we have a great high priest. We have an eternal high priest. What did He do? He opened a door all the way to through Calvary. He opened a door giving us access to God. You know what I like as a Christian? I do not have to go to church, a mosque, or a wherever to get access to God. That I can drop to my knees I was going to say when I'm at work, but I work here. But I could go to a forbidden place, such as Walmart, and I can kneel, and I can get a hold of my God. Enter into His gates with praise. How can we do that spiritually this morning? We can go right into the throne room of heaven and talk to God and fellowship with God today. Why? Because there is a door that's been opened for us. That there is a door that has been unlocked through the cross of Calvary, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has unlocked the door of heaven for us. The Lord is showing us this morning that there is access to heaven. But as we know with God, God just doesn't give access to anybody. Access only comes through Jesus Christ. Notice what He says. He says, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven." I love that. He tells us where this door, the picture of this door is that it is open. You think, why did God show John an open door? I begin to ponder this. See, God knew I was going to preach this morning because I've been studying this message for 2 weeks. I told Brother Latta, where were we at? I said, I'm studying to preach a message. Right? I was on our thing. And then I was like, well, I don't know why I'm studying the message. Well, I knew why I was studying the message. Because God wanted me to preach today. It's amazing when you slip past some of those chocolate things that have X and something on the end of it. I didn't do that. But I was studying this. And I was like, Lord, why am I studying this? And there was one thing I kept pondering. I was like, I try to take my, like Brother Stewart has told us, sometimes we got to take ourselves and go to the place. And I said, if I was on an island by myself in exile, there's one thing I would always look for. That's a way out. Amen? I would look for a way out. I would look for a way to get out of there. And by the way, as a sinner, when you realize that you're a sinner, you are always looking for a way out. And when we realize that Jesus said, I am the way, we realize that there's only one way to get out of exile. There's only one way to get out of the wrath of God. There's only one way to get out from underneath your sin. And what is that? There's an open door. And Jesus says, if any man want to come through the door, he's got to go through me. Why? Because I am the way. I am the door. Aren't you glad He is today? By the way, if you thought about this, there again, I ponder a lot of things. You wouldn't want to be up here. I think about this. I was like, what if salvation was not by grace through faith? What if it was through works? I thought, wow, I'd be in trouble. Because I can never do enough. Because why? Because we come short of the glory of God. Even though if somebody used this example, I don't know if it was here where it was, is that if you took a bow and arrow and you wanted to shoot it across the Mediterranean Sea, you as much as you could try and the bigger bow you could get and a different bow you could get, you could never shoot that arrow all the way across. You would always come up short, and that's the way it is with God. We see that there is a picture of this door. We see that God is showing us that there is access to heaven. Number two, I want you to notice the person at the door. Woo, glory. Not about you, but I'm getting excited. Don't take much excitement. Y'all just calm down, okay? This is church. We're supposed to be dignified. Somebody asked me not too long ago. They're like, are you ever dignified? And I was trying to think if I sleep dignified or not. I was thinking if I maybe take naps dignified, and I don't even think I do that. I just get excited when I think about heaven. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. That's what I'm thinking about this morning. What a day, glorious day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You see, when John saw that door, I love it because he said there was an open door. But then notice what he said after that. He said, in the first voice. In other words, he didn't meet, sometimes we sing these ridiculous songs that, can't wait to get to heaven and meet Grandma. I can't wait to get to heaven and see Papa. Now you're going to have time for that. But I've already seen them. I've already talked to them. You say, I can't wait to get to heaven and see Moses. It's a country song. I can't wait to get to heaven and see Moses. I can. The first voice he heard. Notice what it was. Which I heard was of a trumpet. Whereof a trumpet talking with me. Do you think that John maybe understood what that meant? Turn back over to chapter 1 and verse 10. I believe it is. Notice what he says in verse 10 of chapter 1. He says, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," good day, "and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Now you say, well, was that God? Notice what he said, and that clarifies, yes, it was. He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Notice what he says. He understood that voice that came to him that sounded like a trumpet, that was a very distinct voice. He realized that it was God, not necessarily because of the voice, but I realize this, that he realized by what he said that was God. You see, there's a great verse in the Bible that tells us that we know his voice. We are his sheep and we know his voice. When God calls us, we're not going to go, "What was that?" You ever get on the phone with somebody and you didn't save their number on your phone? That happens to me a lot. People go, "Hey, Brother Wiggins, I just wanted you to know that I need you to pray for me." I'm like, "Huh? Who is this?" And you're hoping that they're going to say something that's going to reveal who they are. And you're going, "Well, I don't know." And I'm like, and then, why are we so embarrassed to say, "Who is this?" But we are. We wait till 5 minutes into the conversation, then we finally go, "Okay, I give up. Okay, sorry, but I didn't have this number saved in my phone. Could you tell me who this is?" "This is Danya, your wife." Right? I think I know my wife. Why? Because she has I know her voice, right? But I want to tell you, when God calls and says, "Hey, come up hither," I don't think we're going to go, "Hmm." I think we're going to be going, "Woohoo! Here we go." Dum da da da. Right? I'll go sailing through the sky, bidding this world goodbye. Hey, I'm looking forward to that day. It's that, notice, the person that was at the door was the Lord Jesus Christ. And his voice, who had trumpeted on Mount Sinai when all the children of Israel were round about the mountain, and the associate pastor was down there, Aaron Wiggins. He was a Wiggins. He was down there, no, he wasn't. He wasn't a Wiggins. But notice when they heard the thundering, and it says they heard a voice as of a trumpet. When Moses was on top of that mountain, he was getting all the commandments set. He said, "There was a voice that I heard that was like a trumpet." That he heard this voice. My favorite verse in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 15:52, which is the rapture chapter. Say that 12 times. The chapter about the rapture. In a moment. By the way, there's a word that is used in here. It's in verse 2. It's called "and immediately." In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's quicker than a blink. It's quicker than anything you can think or see. You can't even measure it. That's how fast we're going to go. Let me pause and say this. That's why you ought to know if you're saved or not. You shouldn't say, "You know what, I'm going to wait." Because it can happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The last trump shall sound. Means you get no other chance. Once that trumpet sounds, you're done. He says, "For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, for we shall be changed." We know that one day there is going to be a trumpet that sounds, and Pastor says this also, is that we believe that trumpet that's going to sound is going to be the voice of God calling His children home. We believe that one day we're just going to be walking about in our life. I don't believe God's going to come when we expect it. You say, "How do you think that?" Because the Bible says when you least expect that He's going to come. In other words, if you plan the day, He's not going to come on that day. Well, people stop giving dates because He can't come on that day. Amen. Stop it. Stop doing that. You say, "Well, He's coming March the 18th. Stop it. He can't come on that day now. Because you'll be expecting it. It's going to be when you least expect it. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. Immediately, John says, immediately in verse 2, "I was in the Spirit, and behold, all the things of heaven." John went from exile to an entrance in a second. We see that there was the person at the door was the voice of God. One day we're going to hear that sweet voice we've been waiting to hear. Listen, you say, are you going to be glad when you get to heaven and you see your grandparents? Sure, I am. I've lost loved ones. I've not lost anybody super close to me, but I've lost people in my life. But I'm going to tell you something. I have never seen my Savior. I've never heard His audible voice, and I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait for when I get to heaven and that door is open, and He says, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of heaven." Boy, I want you to get this picture this morning. John goes from a little island that he was exiled to, thinking, "This is it. I'm done." By the way, John was killed later, died later on that isle. But we also know this, is that he died a little bit better man than he did when he first got there. You know why? Because he got a glimpse of heaven. And folks, if we can get a glimpse of heaven today, it's no matter what this world can throw at us, we can handle it. Why? Because this is not our home. Hold things loosely in this world. Spurgeon alluded to that in one of his writings, to hold things in this world loosely. Why? Because one day they're going to fall through your hand. So let's get this vision. John's exiled on the Isle of Patmos, thinking, "This is it, God. This is it." And the Lord shows up on the island and says, "Nope, this ain't it. I'm going to show you what's going to be to come. I'm going to show you what is and the things that is to come." And all of a sudden, immediately, John said, "I was in the Spirit. I was taken up into heaven, and a door was opened unto me. And the first voice I heard was as a trumpet." He says, "I heard God beckoning me. Come on." And now I want you to notice the last thing this morning, the place beyond the door. So we see that there's a door. We see the picture of that door there. God is giving us a picture. But also we see the person at the door. But now I want you to notice the place beyond the door. I want you to notice that there is a place beyond that open door this morning that maybe some of you that are here this morning will never see. There may be somebody underneath the sound of my voice or watching on the internet, wherever it may be, that may never see anything beyond the door. By the way, there's always an open door in your life. When you're born into this world, you're born with an open door right into the pits of hell. And the only way, I love the song. You may not like it, and that's okay. "He locked the gates of hell behind me, and then He threw the keys away." I love that song. You have to look it up. You know why I like that? Because when I got saved, I cannot go back through the open door of hell. Why? Because God has closed it and locked it. Hello. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You say, "I don't believe that." I don't care what you believe. The Bible tells us that it don't matter what you believe, really. It believes that God has wrote it in His Bible that you're saved for eternity. Amen. Listen, whenever I got saved, there's another song I like too that a friend of mine wrote. He says, "I'm not going to hell." That's the title of the song. He was riding down the road one day and he just thought about, he was telling the story about riding down the road, and he got a little bit, sometimes we get a little bit discouraged. And he said, God reminded him, "You're not going to hell." That's a good day. I'm not going to hell. Listen, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. By the way, once I got saved, I can't go to hell. Why? Because there was an open door to me that cannot be closed. God closed the gates of hell and He locked them, and now I'm on my way to heaven. Listen, we are looking for a city and builder whose maker is God. This morning, I'm glad that there is a place beyond the door. Verse 4 through 11. He noticed that in verse 4 that there was a throne. And he noticed that there was 24 chairs around that throne. But I love what he says, that those chairs were occupied by 24 and 20 elders. Now we know that if we study this, that this is a representation of me and you. He said that they were in white raiment and wearing crowns of gold. On verse 4. You know what that means? Their race is done. When you see a crown on somebody, that means they've already accomplished what they've accomplished. See, when we get to heaven, God's going to judge us. After this is the judgment, right? That once, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. I have to think of the whole verse. And we're going to stand before God. Yes, He's going to judge us, but He's not going to judge us according to salvation or not. He's going to judge us what we did in this life, how we were stewards of our life for Him. One day we're going to enter into the joy of heaven. We see that not only that there was a throne, or round about the throne, there was 24 elders, but in verse 5 we see that the person who was sitting on the throne was the Lord Jesus Christ. I love when you describe something. If I describe my house to you, I could describe it for you real quick. I don't think anybody would go, "Ooh, want to go see that after church." We have doors and windows. We have a roof. Amen. We have carpet. When you walk in our door, we have a foyer. You can hang your coat over here. Put our keys down on the little cabinet we have there. Walk in. Shelby's room's right there. There's a restroom. Brody's room's there. Go take a left. Bailey's room's over there. Our garage is there. We have another coat rack there. We have a lot of coat racks. And when you walk in, our tile's kind of a brownish gray, got gray in it. Some of y'all go, "Yeah." But when you walk in our house, you can see all the way through the house. It's like a shotgun house. You can see out the back door. Our living room's there, kitchen's there, my wife and I's bedroom and bathroom is there. We have a little back porch that we paid a lot of money for. It's about this big. Our grill fits on it. You grill like this, you know. And I shake my neighbor's hand, literally. I can see all 12 of my neighbors, And, man, it's exciting. Our yard is probably about the size of this right here, you know, to the wall. Our yard's that big. Anybody want to come over and play basketball, volleyball? You ain't going to do it. Our dogs inhabit that land. But to you, it don't sound exciting, but to me, it does. I live there, right? I love my house. But God doesn't describe what's beyond the open door that way, does He? You ever notice that He described the people before He described the place? Now, see, if I gave you another tour of my house, I said, "Now look, when you walk into my house, here's my youngest son, Brody. Here's my middle daughter, Bailey. Here's my oldest, Shelby, and here's my wife, Danya. And here's a little bit about my family." You'd be a little more intrigued about our home, wouldn't you? But what if I said that God is there? What if I told you today that, hey, God's at my house today? You would all want to visit. Why? Because the person changes the visit, or changes our vision of where we're going. And when John saw, he said that he saw the people of heaven, but he saw that there was a center focus point. He said it was a throne. And he said, "The Him that sat on it." He said, "The only way I can describe it is by telling you the colors were amazing." He said, "Oh, when I looked up on that throne," he said, "between me and the throne, there was a clear crystal. It looked like a river flowing." He said, "It was beautiful." John couldn't even comprehend what he was seeing. He had to use what he already knew to explain it. He said, "Oh, this was a beautiful place." John didn't describe necessarily in this point, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, and all these things. But he focused his attention on the Lord and what was going on around that throne. He said there was people around that throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Not about you, but I think when we get to heaven, I don't think we're going to shake hands with St. Peter. Peter's going to look through the book. Yep, see your name right here. Come on in. He's a southerner. I don't think we're going to get to the gate and John and Peter. I believe we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see nothing but that center focus point of heaven. And I believe our next step will be this. "Oh God, You prepared this for me. God, You prepared this place for me. Though I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. God, You prepared this for me." The beauty of heaven and the beauty of Christ sitting on His throne, ruling and reigning forever. What a day, glorious day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. What a day, glorious day that will be. This morning, I want to say something to you, and I'm done. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? There's an open door. But also there's a closed door behind you. I went to jail a couple times in my life. I just want to tell y'all now, don't mess with me. No, I was there for, used to have jail ministry back in Florida. One of the most eerie sounds when you go into a jail, I always heard this and I was like, whatever, is that, and you're going, Lord, I know I can't scale the fence. Lord, I know I can't outrun none of these guys here. But Lord, I do believe in the rapture. Even so, come Lord Jesus, if this thing goes south. And some of the words our pastor used in jail, I thought we were going to have a riot a few times. He was a very outspoken man, some of you that know him. He would say things, you go, even so, come Lord Jesus. But when that gate slams behind you, it does get your attention. Because you're thinking, I may never get out of here. But one of the greatest sounds you'll ever hear is when you're going out. And that gate slams behind you and you know that you're a free man. And know that you are not going back there unless you want to. Well, that's not even true with salvation. Listen, when you get saved, the door closes behind you and God locks it. Amen. The Bible says that He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He locks it. Never be open to you again. Amen. And then He opens the door in heaven. But can I say that one of the greatest things about that open door is the person who will be standing at that open door. John said, the first voice I heard. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing my Savior. You ever wonder why He loves you? He didn't have to, but He did. Matter of fact, He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for you. We can only just imagine through the Scripture of what's beyond that door. I think the saddest day could be is when you realize you're not saved. And when that trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel sounds and God says, come up hither, and you don't hear it. I could be preaching up here and all of a sudden, phew, can't see me. Where'd Wiggins go? Well, thank God he's gone. I didn't like his preaching anyway. Well, by golly, you can have the church. Because all of us are going to be gone that are saved. Hello? Listen, the Antichrist is going to inhabit this world. And listen, you don't get a second chance. Why? Because you heard it. You heard the gospel message. You rejected the gospel message. Why don't you receive Christ today? Listen, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Listen, some of us could get in our vehicle and drive into eternity. You're not promised tomorrow. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. Well, good job. Amen. Listen, reality. I tell people all the time, when I used to work in EMS, I'd see these young people that die in these wrecks and go off into eternity. See people that have taken their lives go off into eternity. And the only thing I can say is I hope they were saved. Because there was an open door. But if you're lost, there's an open door to hell. And the Bible says that, listen, straight is the way to this one. And narrow. But broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Listen, God said this about the straight and narrow way. He said there's going to be few that find it. He says, but the broad way, if you're on Broadway, listen, you were born on that street. But Jesus Christ died for you so you could go to heaven. Have an open door this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen. Don't think you got time. Listen, I'm telling you, if you look at the things going on in our world today, there were 3 earthquakes in South Alabama and Northwest Florida this past week. 3 earthquakes. The Bible may say something about earthquakes in diverse places. Hello? I'm talking about South Alabama, L.A., Lower Alabama. Where my family lives, right at my brother's house is where the earthquake hit. Maybe he just moved there. Maybe he's causing this. But there was 3 earthquakes just last week in this little area of southern Alabama, northwest Florida. Listen, I'm not saying that's going to usher in the rapture. I'm just saying that there's things happening in this world today that is prophecy that God has already told us. These things have happened. Listen, nothing has to happen for the rapture to happen. We know that. That it can happen immediately. But we see signs of what things that's going to happen during the tribulation period already today. Did you ever think that people would believe some of the stuff that's coming from our government today? You know what? That's just getting ready. People ready to believe a lie. And it's going to come straight from the government. The government of the Antichrist. He's going to set up a Babylonian kingdom. He's going to rule and reign from the center of the earth. And he's going to set up this world system. And people are just going to fall right in line with it. It's almost like socialism. No, we couldn't believe that. But anyway. Yeah, we could, right? Trumpet's going to sound. At our church, our pastor down in Burnett, we had a guy in our church, our song leader, played the trumpet. I thought, man, I'm going to preach a message on when the trumpet sounds. I told him, I said, I want you to wait in the vestibule. When you hear me get to this point, I want you to rush in the door and blow that trumpet. Our church was the size of this. I thought, man, this is going to be great. We didn't have defibrillators in our church either. So I got to the part of the message I was preaching along. He fell asleep in the back. I was like, he walked in. He went, bup, bada, dub. I'd never seen Baptists have a spiritual attack like they did. We had people getting saved all over the building. No, I mean, we had people holding their hands up. They thought that, you know, it was amazing. But I proved to them that it could happen just that quick. Now, we had a few people we had to take to the hospital, give them checked out, but they were fine, you know. But listen, a trumpet could sound. If you're not ready this morning, you don't get to go to heaven. You'll go to hell. And then one day the Bible says that hell, death and hell were lifted up and cast into a lake of fire. But if you're saved, here's what the Bible says. It says that there is a door open. I love what the Scripture says, that when we're with the Lord, so shall we ever be with Him. In other words, if He comes back to earth, we come with Him. If He stays in heaven, we stay with Him. We never leave Him. He never leaves us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He meant that here on earth, but He meant in heaven. That is a true statement physically. Amen. That we're going to be with Him forever and ever and enjoy the joys of heaven and hear the voice of God. You say, well, what does this message have to do with saved people? It ought to do something within your soul to know that God has saved your soul. It ought to cause you to be the greatest soldier of Jesus Christ. It ought to cause you to be the greatest servant of Jesus Christ. It ought to charge you up to say, God, I'm not doing enough. Lord, I'm going to serve you greater. Why? Because the day is short. The night is soon coming when no man can work. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to come here in just a moment. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. We invite you to come down front here. We have guys and ladies in our church that have Bible, and they'll be glad to show you through the Word of God how to be saved this morning. Matter of fact, it would be their greatest joy to show you through the Scriptures how to be saved this morning. It's not our opinion. It's not necessarily what Baptists believe. It's what the Bible says. We'll show you through the Bible. But if you're a Christian here this morning, listen, you ought to say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me through heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Listen, to be friends with the world is to be at enmity with God, 1 John tells us. I hope this morning through this message that it's drawn you closer to Him. And realizing that one day the things of this earth are going to slip right through our hands. All the barns and all the things that we think we're building for a kingdom here one day are going to be destroyed. Amen. Only what's done for Christ will last. Are you serving Him this morning? Let's stand this morning. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing a verse of invitation. But I want to pray real quick. And when your head's bowed, your eyes closed this morning. Nobody looking around this morning. I just want to beg you one last time. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come down this morning? We have some ladies down here. We have men down here that have a Bible. If you're a lady, you want one of these ladies to deal with you, one of the men to deal with you. Why don't you come this morning and say, I don't know if I'm saved this morning. Maybe there's some doubt. Maybe there's never been a time or a place where you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior. I want you to come when we begin to sing here in a moment. I want you to come and just ask somebody if they could show you through the Bible. Because I'm telling you, the trumpet could sound right now. The car accident could happen right now. The heart attack could happen right now. We're not promised the rest of this day, folks. Why don't you come get that right this morning? I'm going to pray, and I want you to come. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. And God, I've done all I've in my power, Lord, through your word. But God, Lord, only you can work in the spirit and of your people. And Lord, you can work in the hearts of your people. Lord, I thank you for your power of your word. And God, that it can change lives today. And Lord, I pray and I beg you today that if there is one here this morning that's lost, Lord, one that if the trumpet was to sound, Lord, they would not be able to go through this open door. Father, I pray today that today would be a day of salvation for them. Father, I pray you'd give them the courage and the faith to come and, Lord, to get that thing settled. And God, I pray that you would just, Lord, work in their life. Lord, in the Christian's life today, Lord, would you help us to serve you greater than ever before? Lord, because the day is quickly coming. Lord, when that noonday arises, Lord, I just pray that you would help us, God, to serve you greater. Lord, we ask you to help us now in Jesus' name.